everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the self-proclaimed premier online show for all things Game of Thrones, you know, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, television, movies, sci-fi, fantasy, all that good stuff. I am Dan Selke, editor of winterscoming.net, and who am I here with?
I'm Mia Johnson, entertainment editor at fansided.com.
And we have a lot of good stuff to get to today, but first, a quick shameless plug. We are available in podcast form, wherever podcasts are downloadable, iTunes, Spreaker. If you feel like giving us a completely laudatory, way over the top, glowing five-star review, that would be great. But first things first, we are giving away today a beautiful Game of Thrones, The Complete Series box set.
Wow.
The whole thing, it is pretty cool. It's like 250 bucks on Amazon, so it's good value if you win.
How may they win this?
Okay. So if you're just joining us, the way we do giveaways is, and hello everybody, hi Julie, Heike, Ashley, Louise, Crystal, good to see all of you. The way we do it is, we're going to talk for a while and listen to your comments about all the things happening in the world of entertainment. And then at the end of the episode, we are going to ask a Game of Thrones themed trivia question, pretty easy one, don't worry. And the first person to get us a correct answer wins. Then we contact you and you get the $250 value Game of Thrones complete series box set, provided you live in the US or Canada. Sorry, Julie, we can't go outside that because of Think Jam and HBO were kind enough to let us give this thing away. But the conditions are it's US and Canada. I'm sorry to all our international listeners, but it is a US and Canada thing. And that will be coming at the end. For right now, just everybody, thanks for joining us.
Let's see, everybody's discussing the weather. We've got some sunny, cold Florida, freezing cold and snowy in Maine. Oh my goodness. I hope you all stay warm. It's nice and sunny here in Chicago, which is a change. Even though
isn't it weird how like we're like the balmy place right now?
Like Florida, what?
I'm sure it'll change up in the near future. Anyway, to give you an indication of what you're going to get on this Game of Thrones box set, they've been releasing everything recently. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because it's out, I think, yesterday it came out. So everybody's like, here's a deleted scene, and here's, like, a little commentary track, and here's a little feature thing. And there's lots of cool stuff being said. I thought we would play one of the deleted scenes, because there were a few.
Yeah.
You know, the final season of Game of Thrones got a lot of, heated debate over whether it was true to the characters, whether it was a good ending. Mm-hmm. And I don't think deleted scenes are going to, like, change anything, but I think some of them are interesting.
It's fun to at least see. It's fun to pretend.
It's fun to pretend. Including this little one that took place during the first episode. I'll set it up. It's, they're fortifying Winterfell to fight the White Walkers, and Jon and Daenerys are wandering among the plebs, the workers. Mm. Let's see what they discover. Like the one kid was just like, what am I supposed to stand?
Do I care about her? Kid, haven't you been watching the show?
Sure she is. So I think the idea with that scene is they're trying to set up this idea that Daenerys is like not being given any respect, you know?
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason, you know, she feels like no one in Westeros loves her.
Yeah.
Which is the idea is that this builds into her kind of snapping later and deciding like, fine, if none of y'all want me to rule you, I'll just light you up.
I guess.
What do you think of that?
You know, I feel like we were talking about this maybe a couple of episodes back or podcasts back where we were talking about, hey, there were some scenes where they were like, oh, this is going to show Daenerys snap, but we decided to cut it out. And I think, like, maybe that one scene doesn't carry a ton of weight.
No, I mean, no one thing is going to explain genocide.
Right. Like, well, how many licks to get to genocide?
But that's a bite. It's not a lick.
But I think maybe, like, parts of a whole would have added up to a big moment like that. So, like, if we got... And that scene was only, what, like 30 seconds?
Yeah, 30-second scene.
So if we had a couple more 30-second bites of, like, oh, wow, they're really giving it to her. They really hate Daenerys. Like, maybe that would have like sort of kind of justified her feelings. Because otherwise I still think it was like a very like, oh my gosh, why is she doing this? Why did she snap?
I mean, like, I don't think any like deleted scenes are going to like, oh, now I get it. Like, nothing's going to do that. I wish they had, like, kind of underlined that the people of King's Landing specifically didn't want her. Because, like, they're the ones who got it. Right. They're the ones who got burned.
And we kind of got, I mean, like, yeah, we saw that from, like, Sansa. Or Sansa was just like, no, absolutely not. But, it's like, well, how else was everyone else feeling? Were they not as receptive to her? They weren't.
I mean, like, I don't want to relitigate what's already been a long, long litigation thing. But, you know, like, they did have, like, a plot line where Cersei was kind of, like, trying to mount a bit of a PR campaign against her. You know, and she had scenes where, like, she's an invader, she's trying to kill everybody, we don't want her here. But we never, like, got it from the people. If they, like, cheered when Missandei's head was chopped off or something.
Something like that. Yeah.
But, you know, not to be.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, I guess.
And there's other stuff like that on there.
Yeah.
Hey, Nicole. Hey, yourself. Excited for the new series is Jay Salazar. I am too. And Christine, can't wait to see more deleted scenes. I think there are like six.
Okay.
As well as, you know, commentaries in every single episode. Long, voluminous, behind-the-scenes features. There's also a thing that's just on the complete series box set where Conan O'Brien went to the set.
Right.
Yeah, and like just did like interviews with the whole cast. Like, including like Sean Bean and Jason Momoa and people.
Yeah.
Who, like, came back for it.
I would love to see that. Conan's so funny. So I'd like to see a little comedy brought into the Game of Thrones
world. But, okay, so we will give away the box set at the end of this episode. But first, talk about some other things going on in the world, including one of your favorite little fandoms here, the Marvel fandom.
Marvel. So
we got a trailer. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Yesterday, I guess I'll set it up. Yesterday, which was Tuesday. No, they released it like overnight. Tuesday. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning here, I believe, which, oddly enough, I had just gone to bed. So I was like, oh, I just missed it. So I saw it in the morning. They released the Black Widow trailer. Finally, everybody's been talking about, you know, Black Widow movie, when is it going to come out, blah, blah, blah. So finally we got the trailer. I think we want to show that as well, a little bit of it.
Roll a clip. When is it out?
I used to have nothing. And then I got this job. This family. But nothing lasts forever.
I heard you had to leave in a hurry.
It's never easy these days.
So what are you going to do?
I've lived a lot of lives, but I'm done running from my past.
I know you're out there.
I know you know I'm out here. So are we going to talk like grown-ups?
Is that what we are?
It's good to see you too, sis.
What brings you home?
Okay.
So, behind the scenes, Dan was doing cartoon sound effect noises to the fight.
Cartoon?
Realistic. I don't know, but
yeah, I was doing Foley work. Okay. Very realistic stuff.
Okay.
So why are you excited for this particular movie?
You know what? I think it's a weird level of excitement. It's one of those like long overdue sorts of things.
Yes.
Because everyone really wanted a Black Widow movie. Like, she was introduced in Iron Man 2 in 2010.
Right.
So obviously between her first introduction of the character and the movie, which comes out, I think, May 1st, 2020, it's been 10 years that she's been playing this role. People are like, why didn't she have a, you know, solo movie? Everybody else has a solo movie in Avengers, except for Hawkeye. But
his own series coming.
But, yeah, he's getting his own series. So it's
so Hawkeye got to live.
Yeah, he did get to live. So I think it's a little bit of that, too. Like, hey, finally, you know, Captain Marvel got a solo movie before her. So it's about darn time.
It is. And, you know, I like the idea of, by the way, it is a prequel, obviously. I mean, not to go too spoiler heavy, but sequels are kind of impossible for Black Widow. I mean, not really in comics. Anything can happen.
Right. Yeah.
This one is set, I think, after Civil War, but before Infinity War. So she's on the run and kind of reuniting with her family, who I think is David Harbour as like her husband or her father or something.
No. I think, well, okay. So
apparently he survives from the comics. I looked that up really briefly.
Okay. Yeah. I don't, unless it's like a fake marriage in the movie. Well, I was going to say, I don't see her settling down until I remembered Age of Ultron and the whole Incredible Hulk thing where she was trying to get with him. But that's besides the point. what was I going to say? Oh, right. Her family. Right. So we have Florence. How do you say her last name?
Pugh.
Florence Pugh plays a character named Yelena. And it's her sister. And I guess it's like sister in combat sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's like a blood sisterhood.
Yeah, brought up in like that trained femme fatale Black Widow program. And that was shown a little bit later in the story as well, or in the trailer, where it's like, oh, you've got all these like female assassins and they're being trained. So it'll be interesting to see what her backstory was and what it's like to be another Black Widow, because they've all got like the same fighting style and suits and all that stuff. So it's pretty cool.
I love, like, I really enjoyed the Winter Soldier movie. I liked it because it was like so kind of grounded and down to earth. I think Louise just compared it to a Bourne movie, which I totally thought too. When I saw that, I was like, that looks like Jason Bourne doing this stuff. I like that.
Oh,
you
my
know,
God,
the,
that's
the,
Jason
the,
Bourne.
That in like, it's not like Thor. You don't have to like have a giant, you know, God smashing sequence. Yeah. It can be more grounded and like kind of hand to hand stuff, which is like another flavor for them.
Yeah. And that's really what's interesting is Marvel's been able to find like to let every movie have its own sort of genre, from Thor Ragnarok or like the difference between, you know, Winter Soldier or Civil War. So I think, yeah, it is interesting. It's like, oh, now we're getting a Jason Bourne and Scarlett Johansson is in the lead.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
But yeah.
By the way, some of these comments, Rachel Weisz makes Marvel debut. Very awesome. Somebody said up there really fast, who was it? Sherry Fix, hi from Springfield, Illinois. Just really quick, that's where I was born, Springfield, Illinois. So
I represent.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Sherry, because Springfield forever right here. So we got that coming. That's a prequel.
Yeah.
The next, like, step forward for Marvel, Phase 4, is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Is I think it might be the Falcon and the Winter Soldier show. Unless the Eternals gets there first.
You know what? I'm forgetting when that's coming out. For some reason...
It's next year.
It is next year. Okay, yeah. So...
And I think the Eternals like November or something. So it could be before. It's going to be interesting. How do you feel about the next phase of Marvel? I mean, like... It incorporating television.
Yeah,
like, to be a Marvel fan, it's not just movies anymore. You're going to have to watch The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean... at this point, they've kind of earned my trust, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I'll watch whatever. I'll go with it.
I will, yeah. That's what I was texting my friend today, and she's like, I can't tell if this is going to be good or if they're just setting me... She was talking about Black Widow. She's like, mm-hmm. Or they're just setting me up again. I was like, at this point, I don't really have a choice. I'm going to see every single thing they put out. So it doesn't matter if
until
I like
they start
it or if
slipping.
I don't. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting because kind of like... We thought we might see that with The Mandalorian, where we're like, ooh, is it going to relate to, like, the Rise of Skywalker? And it's like, okay, no, it's not. So you can watch those two completely separate and independent of one another.
Yes.
But once we get down to, like, the Marvel stuff, it really is going to be a whole new thing of, like, oh, do I actually have to watch this before going into the movie? Which I don't know what Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to do, but I know like WandaVision and Loki, they said, are going to tie into the new Doctor Strange movie. So it's kind of like, oh, I've got a prerequisite. I've got some homework to do before I get into this next movie. So
that is something that I think is intriguing. The idea of like doing homework to watch TV.
Yeah.
By the way, Louise asked, what's the rating on Black Widow? Pretty sure it's PG-13. I don't think they do our movies.
No, they're not.
In the MCU.
They're not. And I think the only exception will be like Deadpool 3. So
that's true. That I mean, that was not MCU until very recently.
So that might be the one exception to the rule. So it should be, I think, PG-13.
That's
max.
A good. That's interesting. Yeah, they own Deadpool now, so they're going to have to do R or disappoint a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think they want to stick true to that. So yeah, it's going to be bloody, but it's not going to be that bloody. It'll be intense, but But yeah, going back to the whole like Disney Plus thing, it's kind of like, to me, it's not a problem because I want to see this stuff.
I do too.
But I don't know. It's kind of, I feel like out of touch with like a casual viewer. So I don't really know what their experience is like. But I think it speaks that, you know, like if Avengers Endgame can make, you know, 1 billion plus all over the world, that shows how many people are investing in it nonetheless.
They have an install base. I mean, as far as like investment goes, I will say if the Marvel shows are like The Mandalorian, mm-hmm. I've been impressed. Like you said, that it's a very low point of entry for The Mandalorian,
yeah.
which is, by the way, taking the internet by absolute storm and no one can shut the hell up about it. And if Baby Yoda means everywhere, Baby Yoda means here, Baby Yoda means there.
We'll get to that.
I mean, we might as well segue into it right now. Yeah. I think it's a very nice segue. The Mandalorian is, I think, the TV event of the year.
Gosh,
I think so. It's not over yet.
I don't think I ever could have foreseen it blowing up as big as it has.
I don't think Disney foresaw it. Like,
you're like, well.
and my evidence for that is they are only now getting Baby Yoda merchandise up and running like that.
Look at that little
thing. That's not until February. Disney did not know what it had.
So here's what their like safety plan was. Like a week or two ago, they were like, oh, hey, we've got merchandise just in time for Christmas. And it's literally just a picture of the child. And you can slap it on like 100 different t-shirts, mugs, and coffee cups. And, you know, sometimes it'll just be the picture. Sometimes it'll say the child, which I wish they could put Baby Yoda on it. To me, that'd be so much cooler. But that was kind of like their like safety plan. Like, we can get the shirts rolling out, you know, for Christmas, but the plush toys and all that, that has to wait.
I mean, people are picking up the slack. We have like people making little yarn babies just themselves. Like, that's a homemade thing right there. Who needs Disney when you have, you know, craftiness?
Yeah, Etsy, I know it's flooded already. And there's a demand for it.
No doubt. I mean, with that kind of like virality, I don't think you can plan for that.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's something that just kind of happens. Like, you know, of course, Disney expected to be profitable and successful. Mm-hmm. But like this, no one saw this coming.
I don't think so. Yeah. And like, especially with like the Funko Pops, like as soon as people saw it, they were like, we need this Funko Pop ASAP. And previous to the show releasing, they did have like the Mandalorian. They had one of the robots. They had, I think, Cara Dune, who we finally just saw. Yeah. So they had all those and people were like, yeah, that's cool. But as soon as they saw the Baby Yoda, they're like, but where's that pop? So they will be making a Baby Yoda pop. There's going to be one like regular sized one, and then there's going to be one jumbo, like 10 inch one. They come in like boxes this big and you'll see them at like Target or whatever. It's going to be huge, but it's going to be cute. I'm pretty sure.
We will. I am going to ask some more piercing questions, but really quick, Ashley did say the memes are my favorite, which is a perfect, the memes are nuts. I mean,
the suit meme. Yeah.
Yeah.
The tea. The tea
drinking meme. Yeah. That's what you post whenever there's like, ooh, tea's being spilled, something like that. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
It just, part of me almost feels a little bad, kind of dirty that Disney is having this much free advertising and success.
Oh no.
Look, there's always this war in me for viewers and for you, Mia, between, I mean, I got to give them credit.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying Marvel. I really am enjoying The Mandalorian more than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a giant Star Wars fan. Like, I've seen the number. I've seen, like, episodes 1, 4, 8, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I see them and then I go away and I don't think about them again. Like, The Mandalorian is the most fun I have ever had watching anything involving Star Wars. But there is this thing in the back of my head where I'm like, I mean, I know they just produced it to get my Disney Plus money. And they're already kind of becoming, like, a monopolistic enterprise. Part of me is like, this can't last. Part of me is like, once they have controlled all of entertainment, they will just stop caring and just kind of suck people dry.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
I mean, no, I can see where that, I don't know, paranoia.
Because they've been buying a lot of studios lately.
They have.
But again, like, I really like their content.
Yeah. It really is in that sense a catch-22 where it's like they want to, I mean, their goal is to make stuff, obviously. They want to make movies. They want to, you know, do stuff that's fun. They have on the lower levels creators who want to like animate or write or, you know, operate cameras and stuff like that. So, you know, they're making jobs, giving jobs.
That's true.
Letting us enjoy it. But yeah, under kind of like the evil empire umbrella sort of thing. We're like, oh, drat, if it only, you know, wasn't Disney, but.
If only Apple TV Plus had this kind of, well, Apple TV Plus 2 was another thing.
Yeah, it's I think Kiwi would be like the Kiwi. Only one where it's just like, hey guys, what's going on? I'm here too.
I'm just here being Kiwi. Yeah. I mean, just focus on the positive though. I really am liking the show. Yeah. I'm liking, again, like the low barrier to entry. I'm liking I like how short the episodes are. Mm-hmm. Like this most recent one where they kind of stopped by the Seven Samurai-ish village was just, it was a standalone episode of television. I'd forgotten what those were like. Yeah. I'm too used to Game of Thrones and Watchmen Historic Materials with these like epic stories that are like, you know, spanning like the whole series.
Yeah.
Not even the season, to have like, oh, it's a self-contained adventure where he meets some characters and they fight an AT-ST, whatever they're called. It's pretty cool. It's got glowing eyes.
Yes.
And then they leave. And I'm like, oh, they're just like wrapped up. I find that very refreshing.
It really is. And at first I was kind of like scorned with that type of model. Like, you know, if I'm going to watch like 22, 40 episodes of How I Met Your Mother, and like half of it is just like, you know, they're pulling jokes out of the ground. But for this, I think it's still very like succinct, and they know what they're doing. And, you know, it's just not like, oh, CBS wants to run this for like 10 seasons or something like that. I feel like it's very contained, where it's like, okay, even though we're going to have one-off episodes, we're also, which I, you know, I hope and pray that they're not going to milk it either. Like, oh, let's see how long we can.
There are 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not like milked to death. Mm-hmm. Not yet anyway. And I'm not sure they would. Like, obviously they're going to get back to an overarching plot, but I like that they're like stopping to smell the roses a little bit.
Yeah. And it might also have to do with production costs too, because it's like it's almost like they're producing a whole movie and then some, because it's longer than a movie,
and it's a very, very beautiful series.
Yeah, so it's very labor intensive, and that shows. I mean, so that's good. So I think that's the difference between, you know, like having like a 3-wall studio and, you know, Mandalorian is shot in front of a live audience sort of thing. So I think that might be the one fail safe where they're like, okay, as long as we've got, you know, we're putting time and effort, you know, we're not going to go overboard with it.
Yeah. but I'm really, really enjoying it. Looking forward to seeing what they have more. I mean, it is the TV event of the year as far as I'm concerned, and I hope they can keep it up.
Yeah, it takes cake. Sorry, Stranger Things, which they did. They outbeat Stranger Things.
I mean, Stranger Things has been on for like months and months.
Well, it was like one of the like, you just said like most buzziest TV show. It's like, well, all right.
So that's great. Some really quick news stories before we get to, of course, the giveaway, which is coming up in a minute. Yay! I never thought about Event that I learned, and I completely forgot it. And I hope that I was just talking to come up, but it's not coming up, so forget it. I mean, it was really smart. Okay. Jar Jar Binks actor is going to host a game show. That's fun.
Ahmed just opened with that. Yeah. That was cute. An interesting. Is it a children's sort of like game show?
It's like children compete to be the best Jedi Knights.
So it's reminding me of like Nickelodeon sort of thing.
Yes. It gives me a very like Legend of the Hidden Temple for your time feel. Yeah. I'm sure there are some adults who would love to do that.
I know. It's like, actually, in
can I swing a sword? Can I do that?
No, kids? Don't do that. Just for the kids. Let them enjoy it. Let the Padawans enjoy it.
So this amount of stuff in. We're a little short today, but why don't we get to the people they want and give away the
I think they're all
the Game of Thrones complete series.
Riddle us this.
Okay. So the way we do this, we're going to give away the Game of Thrones complete series box set. What we do it on Take the Black Live is we're going to ask a trivia question, and you guys are going to answer in the comments. The first person to get in a correct answer, I'm going to contact afterwards, say, you won, hooray. And then you're going to give me your address, and we will send it out to you, courtesy of our friends at Think Jam and HBO. Okay, so get your fingers poised over the keyboards.
All right.
And again, I am sorry, this is only for the U.S. and Canada.
Okay. Reasons.
The trivia question is, just in the spirit of this and huge Game of Thrones box set, name the title of the very first episode in the television show Game of Thrones. The title of the very first premiere pilot episode of Game of Thrones.
I wonder.
I can't do that. It's illegal. Do you know?
I actually don't.
It's like, if you like guessed, it's one of like the big catchphrases of the series. Probably would probably get it. It's not a hard title. It's not a hard title to guess. But, yeah, what I wanted to say, we'll talk about that The Mandalorian is really, really great.
Yes.
Have you watched any of more of Watchmen, by the way?
I think I've had my... I've reached my cap with Watchmen. I don't know why, but I am so sorry that I had to back out of this endeavor.
Oh, fair enough. Did you watch any more?
Oh, no.
It works.
I feel like I just see the headlines. I'm like, all right, that happened. All right.
Yeah. Because I feel like, I mean, A, you're not alone at all. Yeah. Like, it's not getting great viewership. Like, that's the other show I think is really killing it this year. The thing that can be Mandalorian, but like way fewer folk are watching it. I think the barrier of entry is way higher. Like, The Mandalorian is great, but it's very easily watchable, which is good. It's a good thing. But I also like Watchmen, which is like a homework doing show. Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking earlier about like, is Marvel going to be hard to watch because you have to do all these things to get up on it? Like, Watchmen's a show, like, you don't have to read the comic book, but it would help.
Yeah, even watching the first episode, I was like, okay, I know these little things like a Rorschach mask or whatever. Yeah, and it's like, if I did know that, I would be kind of lost.
And like, that does not stop. Like, there's there's all these details and it's all very dense. And I think very, very rewarding if you dig into it, and a lot of people are. But it's kind of unfortunate because that kind of show, you know, I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's not going to be watched by people because it's not as easy to watch.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, again, was like this kind of miracle show that was both, it was quite complicated.
Yeah.
But it was easy enough, I guess, to just invite you into it.
It's easy enough and kind of fun. I don't know. It just kind of sucks you in to the point where you're like, oh, well, I don't care. I'll figure it out eventually. And I just want to keep watching.
Yeah. I think Watchmen I really do love it. I think it's excellent. But it is maybe a little too dense for its own good. Which, I mean, it's tricky because I want more shows like that. And more shows like The Mandalorian. I hope we can all live together.
Yeah.
And in peace and harmony.
Holding hands, singing on the hilltop.
Anyway.
Oh, boy.
As Heike Corsi asked, Watchmen really that good? Yes, I think it is excellent. And anybody who watches it, I encourage them to, so they can get up the numbers and we can get another season.
Yeah.
We got some responses. I won't give away the answer right here just in case. 8 people already said. Yes, the answer is the episode was called Winter's Coming.
Of course.
Full circle moment. I'll be getting back to the winner very shortly. Any other comments you have?
Louise is asking, going back to The Mandalorian really quick. Question, will we see him with his helmet off?
What do you think?
Might not be Pedro Pascal. It could be anyone.
It's not. Wouldn't that be funny?
I would love that. What a twist. No, I think it will be him. I almost thought he was going to take his helmet off in front of the lady.
I almost thought too. Remember, then I thought like we're 4 episodes in. Nah.
Yeah, it's not. Not yet. Not yet. But if you look very closely, I think in episode 1, you could see a little bit of his wrist. So it's like, ooh, a little risque. Wrist. So going back to Victorian times here.
I want you and everybody listening to complete this sentence. It's not Pedro Pascal. The Mandalorian takes off his helmet. And to your surprise, it's...
Blank.
Cate Blanchett. Like who? Name someone.
Who would be the most surprised?
Yes.
Robert De Niro. Welcome to the streaming service. Oh, Martin Scorsese.
Yes. If it was Martin Scorsese, I would love that.
I lied. I love streaming services.
I'm all in. Watch The Irishman with Robert De Niro. Yeah. Do you think that we'll see us with those helmet off? Do you think they'll go there?
Man, fingers crossed. I feel like because it was provoked, it was thought. You know, they brought it up. I feel like it's a Chekhov's gun sort of thing now. Mm-hmm. I'll put in my chips for yes.
Wait, some of the responses. Heike says, Conan O'Brien. Sherry Fix, Tom Cruise. Ashley Pipes, Lena Headey. Isabel says, Waldo. Waldo. There he is. And Jay Salazar, Brad Pitt. Any of those I would go for.
Oh, like lovely, lovely answers.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. That made my day.
So, yeah, we'll find that out sooner
Kit
rather
Harington.
Than later. Kit Harington. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay. That's enough for one day. It's been a day.
All right. It has. Congratulations to the winner, whoever they are. I'll get in contact with you shortly. And we'll be back next Wednesday, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here. Talk more about sci-fi, fantasy, Game of Thrones, Mandalorian, whatever is popping at the time. Again, we are available on iTunes, Spreaker, wherever podcasts are downloaded. And I mean, seriously, like, I don't want to beg, but if you are able and interested, it does help, you know, like raise things in the ratings, as I understand it. I'm not an analytics guy exactly. If you get like lots of 5-star reviews, yeah, they'll say like, you're so amazing. So just, you know, I know that we're a 2.5-star show, but just lie and say we're 5.
No, I'm kidding. You have to believe in yourself. If we were 2.5-star show, I don't think anyone would be watching.
if you feel like it. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Thanks so much and congrats. And we'll see you soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.